I have pictures of my favorite breakfast place. Got my picture taken day after the draft. We were headed out there on a Saturday morning, and they took the sign down.
The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day.
Can I pick the seventh round pick? And he's like, oh, absolutely. And we got around to it, and just Julian Edelman, and I'm like, sweet, we're going to pick Julian Edelman. And he's like, no, I was just kidding, man.
With Seahawks general manager John Schneider.
It is that time. We do it every week. Look forward to this conversation with this guy who's just, he's a traveling man, Dave. You never know what, we never know what he's doing back there. We don't know where he's at, but he is with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the GM of your Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider, with us. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Where are you? You're in Gainesville, right?
We are in Gainesville. Literally just got done 2 minutes ago here with Anthony Richardson. Just left the room, and yeah. Called you guys up, so let's go.
Did you take another selfie? Because I was telling Dave yesterday, we were talking about it on the air, that I feel like you and Pete really get a kick out of posting those selfies on social media and just letting the speculation fly.
It's fun. You know, we actually just did it like 2 minutes ago here, and we kind of like got like, you know, lined up exactly where they're supposed to be. Like, we've done this before. We're like, okay, we're gonna knock this stuff off now.
Yeah. Hey, so tell us about it, man. Well, I was just going to say, I remember it was either you or Trent were talking about Josh Gordon and what an impressive workout it was, and what a great athlete. And just was watching, I saw you and Pete standing front and center watching the Anthony Richardson workout. How impressive is that guy with the backflips and hitting the ceiling in the indoor facility? Tell us about his workout.
Yeah, throwing it 120 yards. Yeah, no, he was really impressive. Really, great athlete. Great young man. I mean, he turns 21 May 22nd. I mean, he has a ton of physical talent. There's no question about it. It's a lot of, there's definitely questions there. Like there are with all these guys. He's like 6-6 as a starter. New staff here this past year with Coach Napier. So, but yeah, really, really impressive workout. He did a great job, and he had fun. He was loose and he had a good time with his teammates.
Let me go ahead and appease the listeners here, John. Now that you've seen all of the quarterbacks, which one are you going to take?
Well, the ranking goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But honestly, in terms of the speculation, is anything you guys are reading and get a kick out of? We've talked about it before. I just always picture you and Pete just laughing like, hey, did you see what this guy wrote? Did you see what this guy said we're going to do? Do you guys follow any of the predictions?
No, we met with, when our exit interviews with Gino and with Drew, we told both those guys, hey, look, we haven't picked up here, in a long, long time. And, there's a chance we can't say we will or we won't, but, we'd love to have you guys both back, but we don't know if we are going to take a quarterback or we're not. We just don't know yet. And, so those guys were in the loop in terms of, everything that we have going on with all these quarterback studies this year. So, it's not something that, we actually started doing it because Greg Olson, when he was with the Raiders, they traveled around and saw some guys. So he's like, hey, we got to get a selfie. And then we just did it and, gave it to the PR department and it took off from there. So.
Yeah. Hey, so one of the guys I love is Osiris Torrance. Were you only looking at Richardson, or did you see the rest of the entire, Florida Pro Day? Were you looking at other guys too, John?
Yeah, they split it up into position groupings. So, we had defensive linemen, linebacker, a couple defensive backs, wide receivers, they have a couple guys here. It wasn't just Richardson. Obviously, Richardson jumped in there with the receivers and then finished up, with those guys. They have a good group here. Coach Napier is going to do a really good job at this school. He's, offensive mind guy, came from Louisiana Lafayette. So, really cool staff, great coaching staff here. And so, these guys have some good players, and they'll only get better here now.
Hey, John, you said, you guys don't know what you're going to do yet, and that makes sense. But is there a deadline? Is there, hey, by this date, we need to know if this guy's here, that's who we're going with? Or is it up to the last minute?
Yeah, I mean, we'll work through all those scenarios. The closer we get, we'll be a pack. You know, we'll have like three or four more weekends of just pure study, being in that room, just a couple of us, you know, finishing the board and trying to put it together before the college scouts come back in. We'll go through it again with the college scouts based on the spring and the questions we need answered. Then we'll get in there with the coaches, go through it again. And then, you know, that's when after that, you know, we'll get with the our pro scouts and then basically sit there and study team needs and, you know, the locations of their picks and then the scenarios of where we think, you know, guys will go. This year's obviously going to be that much more fun having, you know, the fifth pick and the 20th pick and everything that's going to happen around those top two picks will be, you know, it'd be a lot of fun to just go through all those scenarios and come to a consensus and get ready to go on game day or game weekend, I should say.
John, is that it for the pro scouts or I'm sorry, the pro days for the colleges? Are they shutting that down?
I have one. No, there's a couple more. They'll be going on. There's a lot of guys that have individual workouts as well. Guys that were, you know, rehabbing or banged up or, you know, got hurt and, you know, preparing for the combine. But yeah, several schools left. I have one more next week. And then after that was, you know, being in the office the rest of the way. Yeah. Boy, it seems like I just got off the phone with you guys. I just started thinking about this week.
Yeah. Well, take us through kind of, you know, what you've been doing since then, because you went to the owner meetings, right? So after the last time we talked to you last Thursday, what's your week looked like?
Yeah. So I was on the phone with you guys, you know, we were waiting to jump on a plane to go to, Lexington and was speaking to you guys. I got the question about Bobby Wagner, which was awkward because I had planned a meeting with Bobby. So yeah, that was pretty awkward. Not sure how well that question was answered, but we flew to Lexington that night and hung out, got up in the morning, went to the workout, flew back from the workout. And we got home, you know, took my wife to dinner that night, got up early in the morning. Got in the office with Matt Thomas, got together with him for a while and figured out, you know, what we're going to try to accomplish meeting with Bobby. Went to Mo Kelly's house, met with Bobby all afternoon. We came to an agreement, went down, signed up those papers, you know, and exciting stuff, right? Bringing Bobby back. Everybody's jacked up for that. Went home, packed up, got picked up at 7 o'clock in the morning and flew to Arizona for the meetings. And then, we were there for a couple of days and Pete and I, we flew over here, to Gainesville, yesterday afternoon and went through the workout this morning and here we are. Now we're coming back tonight, flying back tonight. So we'll be getting the draft room this weekend and keep cranking on that board.
John, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, obviously the news is big. A lot of fans excited about Bobby Wagner. Nobody more excited than Quandre Diggs, clearly. But as far as Bobby's role on the team, we were talking about, all right, well, how does it work when Jordan Brooks is healthy and you brought Devin Bush back? I assume you had those conversations like, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to use you when Jordan's not ready. And when he is ready, here's how things are going to go. I assume you guys already went through all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, full transparency. Pete had, you know, had a conversation, and Clint had a conversation with Bobby about, you know, what things are going to look like and expectations and roles. You know, I'm obviously not going to share that, but just a clear picture of what, you know, things will look like. I mean, we don't, as clear as we can be, because we don't really know how things are going to go with, you know, guys' rehabs and all that. But trying to get Devin and Bobby out there, obviously, to start out, and then as soon as Jordan gets back, you know, hopefully we'll get him in the mix, get him going as well. ACLs are never a fun deal to come back from, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think people just think, oh, you signed Bobby, but there's got to be a lot of discussion between not just you and Pete, John, but also what about like Clint Hurt? You mentioned him and, you know, the linebacker coach. I mean, there's got to be a lot of like planning. Kind of take us through what those discussions are like.
Yeah, well, those discussions, you know, there's a ton of them, right? You can sit in those rooms and be like, wow, that escalated quickly, you know. But no, there's a ton of collaboration that goes into a decision like that. Obviously, you know, we want to reach out to Bobby as soon as he was let go. You also have to be very careful with an iconic player like that, and you know, arguably the best, you know, defensive player in the team's history, you know. So, you know, we want to make sure everybody's on the same page and that, you know, communication is straightforward, clear, and honest as you could possibly be throughout the free agency period. And you know, as we discussed earlier, everybody's free agency period is a little bit different. You know, you see guys that just, you know, go quickly and right after the 3-day, you know, negotiating window. So there's just different time frames for everybody. You know, we're getting into a spot now where, you know, things have slowed down a ton. We're continuing to make some, you know, salary cap adjustments and keep working, you know, trying to help our team as much as we possibly can throughout the way. But, you know, we're pretty close to, you know, not being able to go out there and be signing big name guys right now, or, you know, people that, I shouldn't say big name guys, but people that, fans would know exactly who they are.
Hey, John, when it comes to restructuring contracts, is that something you'd like to stay away from? I can't really remember how often you guys have done that, or if that's not something you really like to do, because that tends to extend the length of the contract, right? When you go in and do a restructure, is that something you'd rather not do, or as a matter of practice?
Yeah, as a matter of practice, you definitely don't want to do that, because you're biting in the future years. You know, you try to balance that, excuse me, every single year. You know, being able to put the best product on the field that you possibly can, as well as being able to protect your future. We're not one of those teams that is going to be trying to put ourselves in harm's way for the following season. We're trying to, you know, look at, you know, 2-3 years down the road and consistent championship team, playoff team, you know, see your fans again, think that we are in it every single year. You know, you're preparing as if you're going to win our ultimate goal is to be world champions, you know? And so, we spent a lot of money this year in free agency. There's no question about it. I think it's the most since, you know, the year we did it with Sydney, maybe the first weekend or something like that. But, you know, overall, we're not a team that likes to bite into the future. No.
Is that something that you, with any player, you can do whenever you want, or is that something you have to negotiate with the player? Like, hey, can we do that? They have to be willing to do it, or the club has the option to do it if they want to?
Depends on the guy's contracts.
Okay.
You know, some guys have, you know, automatic triggers and tools that we can use. Other guys, you need to, you know, negotiate with.
Hey, John, you took us through your week. Tell us what gets done at the NFL meetings. What exactly are you guys doing down there, you and Pete, and how many people do you take, and what's that like?
Yeah, we're definitely jumping into a different world down there at the Biltmore. And, I guess practice is over.
I'm glad that's not a fire alarm.
Into a different world. You know, down at the Biltmore, I think, I went and grabbed two Fiji waters for Trace and I, and it was like, you know, $28 or something like that. So pretty fancy place. But, yeah. You know, a lot of football operations, management council information, competition committees, you know, findings, you know, player health and safety, obviously a huge issue. State of the league, where we're at, where we're trying to go. A lot of different types of meetings. And usually it's pretty much, you know, business side, presidents, owners, they have their role, as well as Pete and myself, Matt Thomas, on the football operations side and the coaching side.
Hey, John, we were talking yesterday about one of the things that came out of those meetings was this sort of mass release date as far as, you know, cut downs at the end of August and beginning of September. And who does that benefit? Tell us how that changes your job and, you know, how it affects the players.
Well, we've actually proposed it in previous years and have been for it for a number of years. And it really goes along with player health and safety, you know, because you get to that, what is now the third preseason game. We used to have the, you know, the fourth, but you get to that last preseason game and you want to be able to protect as many players as you possibly can from injuries, but you still have to get through the game. And so, you know, we like it, you know, because you wrap everything up that week. You still have the roster flexibility to get through the game. And yeah, so it's been a big deal for us for a number of years. It's been on the docket, and we're glad it finally passed.
It would seem on the surface, John, you look at it and potentially you've got a lot of guys you have to cut after that final game. And maybe you don't get the reps for everybody that you want because there's so many guys out there, and then they don't have that time to jump onto another roster after they get cut. Is that inaccurate? It seems like more of a... Yeah, I
mean, we used to do that, you know. Now, guys, there is more opportunity for guys that are, you know, cut earlier, you know, going, having a shot to go work out for other teams. You've seen us do that. You know, we've brought in some guys that have worked out, and then, you know, we put them on our practice squad. But that time frame, it goes really fast. I mean, it's really like, it's basically like a week and a half. So it's just much, much better for the coaches to be able to, you know, prepare for that last game, prepare for the opener, knowing who's going to be available, who's not going to be available, and then us being able to set up our practice squad because it's just all, you know, that the last weekend all together. So we've always been in favor of this for a long time.
Hey, John, I just heard on NFL Network they're talking about taking guys out to dinner, you know, and, you know, kind of what that's like. I know Anthony Richardson went out with a couple of different teams. Do you guys do that? What are those little meetings, those dinners tend to be like?
Yeah, actually, you can't do that anymore, so I'm not sure why they talk about that. You can meet with the guys, but in terms of taking them out and entertaining them and that sort of stuff, like, that's not something you can do anymore. We used to be able to do that all the time. But yeah, no, you spend as much time with the guys as you can. You know, you set up meetings early in the evening. So I'm sure he met with people, you know, yesterday afternoon. People flew in into the evening. And then, you know, we got them. We've had these guys after the workouts, which has been great. So you can be able to, you know, talk to them about the workout, how they thought it went, and then spend time with you know, Shane on the board and Pete talking to him, talking ball with him too. So, yeah, it's anytime you have that private time with the guys, it's huge. And, you know, we'll have those guys out. We'll have the 30 visits coming up real soon. So we'll be able to have those guys in, and you have them to your place, which is great. You know, we did it with, Frank Clark was a guy that, you know, we had spent a lot of time with, and then we were able to fly him out, for the 30 visit and you know, be able to talk to him about, you know, everything he had going on the field, off the field, and be comfortable with everything. So he's one of those guys that, you know, you bring guys in like that, you just need that extra time. And really, honestly, there's not enough time because you're still learning the guys as even when they're in your building. You know, we educate the you know, the coaches and all the, you know, support staff right when the guys come in that weekend, you know, for the mini camp weekend. So they know the personalities, they know, you know, how we can help. We try to figure out how we can help these guys through the process and keep growing as young men.
When you guys spoke with Will Levis, did you talk to him about putting mayonnaise in his coffee?
No, I did that last year when I met him at the Combine. I asked him about eating raw bananas. He eats raw bananas or something? Yeah, so he just eats the banana whole. Yeah.
What do you mean raw?
I mean with the peel on.
Himself in the mirror, though.
He eats a banana with the peel on it, you mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And he puts mayonnaise in his coffee. I don't know. Are these red flags? I feel weird.
I'm sure with him it's like a healthy fat thing or something. I don't get your metabolism going or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you remember any stories of any guys that you ran into that were particularly quirky or did, you know, weird things or anything like that?
Oh, man. Yeah. There's a ton of them.
We don't have to name names.
I'd have to like go back and like, you know, go through. I think I told you guys, like, you know, we had a famous running back that like running on inside at the indoor facility when we were asking him about if he prefers to run inside or outside. And he's like, hey, have you seen our new facility? I never run outside anymore. there's guys, and when you spend time with them, sure, that you know, we have a lot of the red flags already. You know, you gotta remember the scouts now, like coming to these schools, like, you know, we're here with Armani Perez and today and Matt Berry and Aaron Hahnlein, you know, between those three guys, they've been at this school probably, you know, eight times this fall, right? So, you know, talking out to coaches and, you know, trying to find, you know, the equipment guys and academic counselors and everything, and trying to, you know, figure out the person as much as they possibly can and the competitor. So, you know, by the time you get to these meetings, you feel like you have a really good feel for the personality. And it's just kind of, it's fun to be able to, you know, do what we've done this last week and a half now with, you know, these quarterbacks at the top here. So it's just been really interesting to like see all the different personalities, and they're all these guys are very, very unique. They have different skill sets.
Do you ever hit these guys with movie lines to see if they recognize where it came from, or do you talk to them about favorite movies?
Yeah, when I do that, they have no idea. They don't.
They just give you a blank look.
The older coaches in the room, or the older scouts, they'll laugh, they kind of giggle, and they'll kind of look at me like, you know, I'm a weirdo. So, you know, the guys don't get it.
Well, I remember when you did that with Warren Moon. Remember you?
Oh yeah.
You said, yeah, Warren, do you remember when you were in the Hall of Fame? Do you remember that? Yeah. So cool. He didn't seem to get that one. He didn't seem to get it, but we did.
No.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. I did drop one in there, though. I'm not sure if you caught it.
Well, we heard Escalated Quickly. We all know where that's
okay.
from.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Is that an easy one? Or?
Bob threw in, we never know what you're doing. So there's a couple. Yeah. Hey, John, one more just kind of random question. I'm looking at all you guys hanging out on the sidelines. I'm sorry?
Mom, where's the meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Are you? Yeah. Do you?
Meatloaf are where it's at.
Do you pretty much know all of those guys? I mean, do you know every GM, every head coach? I mean, are you friendly with those guys? Are there some guys that you go up and introduce yourself because you haven't met yet? I mean, you've been around for so long in the NFL. Do you pretty much know everyone that's there?
Majority of guys. Now there's a lot of guys that are, you know, way younger than me now that I, you know, don't know. So I try to make it a point to, you know, try to sit down and you have mutual friends and try to get to know guys better. There's guys that, you know, you're talking about trades and moving around on draft day and everything like that. So you want to get comfortable with the personality and get to a spot where you feel like you can communicate quickly with them.
Well, John, it's always great to talk movies with you and football. That's a nice side effect.
Yeah,
as well.
We can talk ball a little bit here.
No, we appreciate it as always, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Stay safe out there in your travels, and we'll talk next week.
All right, appreciate it. Have fun down at the stadium.
There you go, John Schneider. The John Schneider Show happening every Thursday here with Wyman and Bob. If you missed any of that, head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show, and it'll be right there waiting for you. Coming up, we'll give some thoughts on a few key things that John had to say as we continue live from outside the left field gates at T-Mobile Park. It is opening day for your Seattle Mariners taking on the Cleveland Guardians tonight. We'll come back with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Once again, our thanks to Seahawks GM John Schneider, who joined us in the previous segment. If you missed that conversation, it will be available on the podcast page for you after the show at seattlesports.com.
click the podcast tab, scroll down, click on our picture. It'll be right there waiting for you.
Did you see the fat guy in the window, Bob?
The local sit-up champion is in the hotel across the street, putting his wares on display for the crowds out here.
Yeah, proudly displaying it.
I think he thinks it's two-way glass like they use in police interrogation rooms.
Lefko took like a selfie with himself in the foreground. And
nice.
That guy in the
I tweeted it out there.
Yeah,
there to show him off for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. I'm just glad that the shorts stayed on because he looked like he was tempted. He was putting on a show for the assembled masses out here. We're outside the left field gate, outside of T-Mobile Park, and the crowds are forming, people waiting to get inside the building, excited for game number one of the 2023 Mariners season. And the hotel, the Silver Cloud Hotel right across the street, has residents in there staring out the window at the crowds. And one guy who looked he was well-fed and shirtless, staring out the window.
Well, I've said before, like, I'd rather be pantsless than shirtless.
I thought it was coming.
Tragic. Yeah.
I thought pantsless was coming.
And he did get, he got modest and put a T-shirt on.
Do you think somebody pulled him back? Like, they can see you.
Yeah.
It's not two-way glass. You can be seen. Yeah.
Good stuff.
There's a lot to look at out here. There's a lot to look at. So we just spoke with John Schneider. Something we were talking about after that conversation was, it's not of consequence to the team, really, but you'd asked him about, hey, did you guys go out to dinner with these guys, take them out to dinner? And he said he made it sound like they're not allowed to, like there's some sort of rule in place. And I'm asking you, like, well, who's imposing that rule? It's not the NCAA. These are no longer college kids. So who would be enforcing some rule that says, no, you can't take these draft prospects out to a meal?
Well, I'm gonna have to find out from John what that's about. But, you know, the guys who were reporting from Gainesville, the ESPN reporters or NFL Network reporters, were saying, yeah, they took him out to lunch, so, or dinner.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't know that that's, they can't do that. I was gonna say maybe Anthony Richardson took his NIL money and bought them.
Seriously.
Dinner. But, you know, I don't know. I think that there is something with that because I think I told you I never signed with my agent Marvin. We just had a handshake deal.
That's
how we did it. Yeah. And then at the end of my career, I was getting paid like it was stretched out over time. So 3 years into my retirement, I was still getting a check from the Broncos.
Oh, you were like Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. And so I was, you know, I would write him a check. You know,
for
every time
percentage.
I got the check, you know, I would take his 3% out and send it to him.
Huh.
So that was just, you know, he's one of those guys that, like, if I would have said, yeah, we don't have anything contract, he probably would have been, all right, fine, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it was – but anyway, he gave me – I think it was $2,000 after I signed. I did not sign with him after we agreed, and based on it was after I got drafted, and so he gave me some money at the end of my senior year, and that's why I told you I went and bought a VCR.
Yeah,
it was probably the size of like
suitcase.
Suitcase.
You had two people carry it. To
your
house.
And I was like the big shot in my my dorm room because, you know, wow, Wyman's got a VCR, you know, but. He sent me like a couple $1,000, which I paid him back. But
yeah, well, ask John about it. I'm curious.
But you're not supposed to do that, is my point. And, you know, I remember he said, look, just don't tell anybody. But,
right.
You know, if you need a little bit of extra, you're probably going to get this amount.
And now you're throwing them under the table.
Yeah. Well, I think the statute of limitations is
statue,
passed.
Dave. Statue.
I know. I always threw that one up because I remember Shannon Sharp calling it the statue of
him and Kramer.
Yeah. I was like, Statue of Liberty. What are you talking about? Anyway, I don't know. Maybe it is something because why would Marvin have said don't tell anybody? Because
I don't know. I don't know who enforces it though. Like who would penalize them? Would it be the league? That's an interesting. Anyway, that's
well. Maybe they don't want that out there. Maybe the league is like, you know, you don't. I don't know. I just assumed that, you know, based on what they reported, that was okay. That was kind of interesting. But
hey, by the way, speaking of Bobby Bonilla, I sent you this the other night and we didn't talk about it. You see that Ken Griffey Jr. is the fourth highest paid player, non-player on the Cincinnati Reds payroll because he's got deferred money coming to him.
Wow.
So I had sent that. I can't remember what the dollar figure was. It was only, it was somewhere like, I think around $4 million bucks, but
the Reds are super cheap. And right now, that would be the fourth highest payout on their payroll, according to that story I sent you guys.
Well, look, financially, it really doesn't make sense to get paid out over time. You want the money now because it's, you know, you can earn interest on it, things like that. But it is a good deal. Like
Bonilla's getting $1 million every year.
Yeah, I really appreciated that, you know, because, like, there were some market turns down, you know, in the late 90s. And so to be able to get money after that, you don't experience the, you know, that part of it. And it was just something very comforting. But again, you know, it's not the most sound financial thing, but it's a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, knowing you can count on that. Yeah. That bit of money each and every year, depending on how your life is going, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, it's good to talk to John, but that was oddly the one thing that truly stuck out in that conversation was, can't take him out to dinner. That's weird. Meanwhile, plenty of action from opening day around baseball. We're going to hear about all of it when we sweep the dial as we continue live from outside the left field gates here at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
We've already had plenty of action around baseball today. Adley Rutschman had a heck of a game, and so did a guy we'll probably hear a lot of again this year. Aaron Judge hit a home run on the second pitch of the game.
Driven to center field and deep. Yastrzemski back. Still back. On the track. At the wall. See ya. He picks up where he left off. A home run for Judge. 1-0 Yanks.
He's on pace for 162, Dave. So
there you go. Yeah, I that was pretty awesome to see that, man. It looked so effortless, and it was just good timing for me because it just happened to be the first at bat that I saw. How much I walked back in the room, and boom.
How much easier do you think this year is for him? He got the record out of the way. Like, all that pressure he was feeling at the end of the year, and now he can go out there just kind of loose and just play ball. Obviously, you're trying to win, but, I mean, as far as that singular focus on home runs, now he can just let it happen.
Where did he get the record? Was it in Houston or maybe Texas?
Texas.
Yeah, and I think JP was there.
Morosi.
But whoever interviewed him, who's the super short guy with the bow?
Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, I think Rosenthal he was so classy about Aaron Judge and just so cool, and he was very patient. And that was a lot of pressure on him for a long time. So you're right. Yeah, probably. Wow. Probably going to take a huge load off of his plate there, but man, this guy's he's a monster. And again, it just looked like a really easy swing that he took.
He's a large human. I think he's listed 6'7".
Yeah,
he's a there's a lot of natural power there, Dave.
Have you ever seen that picture where he's also standing on the second base, but then Altuve?
Yeah. Looks like his little kid, his little grade schooler standing next to him.
Exactly.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, this will be interesting to kind of focus on what the DH rotation will be like this year. Tommy La Stella is in the lineup tonight batting DH, and he is hitting eighth. But Scott Servais yesterday was asked kind of what it'll look like this year. They have a lot of versatility and a lot of options, and here's how he broke down how they'd handle that spot.
It's gonna fluctuate based on matchups and what fits the club best on that particular day. You'll also see some of our regular players rotate through the DH spot, so that'll be very fluid. There will not be one guy that just takes, you know, plays the DH spot for 125 games. You won't see that.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this. I don't, you know, of the guys that they look at, it like Tommy La Stella, we didn't see much from him at all in spring. He was dealing with a bit of an injury. I don't know what to expect. I don't have high expectations for him, and I know they're going to rotate through it. I kind of miss, I mean, listen, you had the greatest DH in the history of baseball as a Seattle Mariner in Edgar Martinez. He's got an award named after him, for the love of God. Then you had, you know, another guy who was a close second in Nelson Cruz. Yeah. Guys you just knew, man, these are mashers. They're, you know, in Edgar's case, he's kind of like Ty France. He could use the whole field just dangerous, and Nelson a masher. Kind of miss that. You know, I understand the advantage of having rotation. You'd get more guys going through and play the matchups, but it'd be kind of nice if they had one of those guys. I know they're not that easy to find, but I miss it.
Would it be stupid to wish for Evan White to become a really good hitter? Well, not even really good, but just good.
Good enough to be a big leaguer?
To be a first baseman, and then you DH, Ty Francis, your DH? What do you think?
I would be at peace with that.
Yeah, I would like that. That would be a great scenario.
Yeah, and if Evan is a little fragile, he doesn't want to play back-to-back nights, Ty plays first base, they could rotate, but yeah, that would be huge. That would be huge.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, it's kind of already the free agency story of this past offseason. We're talking about Shohei Ohtani, where he ends up maybe by the trade deadline, maybe next offseason. So Jessica Mendoza was asked about this on ESPN Radio. She gave a prediction for how much a contract might be for Shohei Ohtani and where she thinks he'll end up next season.
For any baseball fan, they just want to see him on a contending team, right? We're done with the conversation about Trout and Ohtani not being playing in October. We got a taste of it in the World Baseball Classic. Are you kidding me? This is what he looks like, another level, when he's playing for a championship? You don't see that every day. Only the GOATs get better when everything is on the line. So we know Shohei's numbers. We know how he can pitch. We know how he can hit. But to see him high pressure, championship level, we just got a glimpse of that a few weeks ago. I want to see him on a big market team. I'm saying going across the freeway where they're going to pay, because someone's going to need to play. We're talking $500 million to get Shohei Ohtani, and I'm thinking the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That seems to be the popular choice. The word is he really likes being in California, but obviously the Angels have not been in contention, and the Dodgers are the favorites in the National League going into the season, and they spare no expense when it comes to the roster, and that's a good team. Dodgers are a really good team. What'd she say? $500 million? Is that what she said?
Yeah. Over what period of time, though? I mean, that's where I'm just wondering what the single... Is he going to be the first guy to make $100 million? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but...
I would assume it'd be an 8 to 10 year deal. I don't think this is a 5 year deal at $100 million per year. I would guess it's probably a longer term deal, like we see, but... I don't have any doubts he'll become the highest paid player in baseball history when this deal gets signed. What it's going to end up at, jeez, who knows, man. But I don't like hearing he's going to end up. I like to believe there's a chance he could end up here, but honestly, it's probably really remote.
Well, if you're having to pay him right now, like if his contract's up, it's bad timing for you, right? Because the World Baseball Classic coming off of that, it was basically like Field of Dreams type of scenario there.
Just upped his asking price?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, if he can do anything close to what he did last season, this season... Jeez.
I just saw, I can't remember what the product was that he was pitching. Man, I think it was on Major League MLB Network. Anyway, I mean, as far as advertising dollars, just that alone for him has got to be just massive, because I think pretty much everybody in the world knows what he looks like now.
Yeah.
6'4", I mean, good-looking guy. Well, he's 28, 29, I mean... That guy's got the world on a string, man.
Yeah, and if he can, I haven't heard him speak that often, but if he could break that language barrier, we talked about, Julio having this massive ability to just become this transcendent star, and he's got it all. The one thing that Ichiro didn't have when he was here was obviously that the language was a barrier, so maybe that limited his star power, if you will, going on talk shows, pitching products, things like that. If Shohei can get to that point, man... Yeah, I mean, you are talking about an athlete that people will know, that may not even have any idea who he plays for, what sport he plays, but they just know who he is. Right. I mean, he's generational, to say the least. All right, coming up, we're getting closer to first pitch. We're going to give out our Mariner and Major League Baseball predictions for the season. That's coming up next as we continue live from T-Mobile Park outside the left field gate. It is opening day for your Seattle Mariners taking on the Guardians tonight of Cleveland, 4-game series. We'll get into all of that coming up. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.